on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Good evening to you, wherever you may be. I'm sure there's a football match going on tonight, isn't there? As you can imagine, we haven't got a panel in the studio tonight, and this is a pre-recorded show, and a little bit different to usual because we're concentrating on our Orient quiz this week. So here's the recording we made earlier in the week, myself and Trevor Singfield with our four competitors, and it's another round of the Orient quiz. Pretty well last week, I think, and pass you over to our quiz master, our own Nicholas Parsons, the quiz of the week from Brentwood. It's Trevor Singfield.
Good evening, everyone. This is the round two of the quiz, and we've got hopefully four new contestants this week, and the first one is Tony DeLogbasto. So good evening, Tony.
Good evening.
So we like to let the listeners know what the pedigree of supporters we got calling in. So how long have you been watching the Oaks?
From about the age of five, which would be 70 years. When I was naughty, my dad used to take me down there. And I've been pretty bad ever since because I'm season ticket down there. I love it.
So that's the best punishment ever. So
yes.
And I understand you watched the O's from the East End after frequenting Supporters Club.
I do.
Well, that's good stuff. So let's get straight into the quiz. You've chosen list six by all accounts. And so here we go. Which team defeated the O's 3-0 at Brisbane Road on their way to the National League title?
That would be Salford with the Manchester United backing, who had a dig at us a few times.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a...
Good, that's correct. Okay, number two. Who did we lose to, there's a bit of a theme going here, 5-0 in the fourth round of the FA Cup in 1986?
Now, was it Sheffield Wednesday?
Yeah, that's correct. Well done.
I remember Tommy Canning said was playing, and he said we're going to stuff them, but it never happened. I went.
Yeah, I was at the game myself. Okay, we're going back a bit further now. Number three, our League Cup second round, second replay against Millwall in 1976, where we lost 3-0 again. Where was the game played? At what ground?
Was that a semi-final, you said?
No, it was the second round of the League Cup in the days of replays in a neutral ground.
Where neutral ground. Charlton.
No, it was played at Highbury.
Ah, right.
Okay. Against which team did the O's have a home match abandoned at half-time due to a waterlogged pitch in the 1977-78 season?
Notts Forest.
No, it was a London derby against Charlton.
No, we had it against Notts Forest and all when it bucketed down.
Okay, that may have been a different season.
Hopefully. Oh, yeah, probably.
Okay, right. You may have been around for this one. Then our only season in Division 1 in 1962-63, who won the title that season?
We played in the December. We played the Cup holders and the past league champions and the new ones to be. And that was the last time we won a game up there. Let's have a think. Man United.
No, Everton actually won that league that year.
Did
and,
they?
And the O's beat them 3-0 at home. You wouldn't think.
No, Man United, Terry McDonald got a goal from a corner.
Yeah, that was a famous goal, wasn't it?
He died
out and ever since, all accounts.
He's all right.
Yeah. Okay, number six is Geraint Williams was sacked on the 3rd of April 2010. Who took over as interim manager before Russell Slade was appointed permanent manager?
Christ, oh bloody mighty.
Yeah, it's a few tough
ones. Mr. Ling.
Oh, no. It was Kevin Nugent.
Oh, is it Al Nugent?
Yeah, wasn't a bad guess. Okay. How many goals did Ian Dourif score for us in all competitions? Do you get a choice here, Tony? So,
go on. Yeah.
Okay. Was it 25, 35, 45, 55 or 65?
Oh, yeah, pretty good. 35.
It's 45.
Yeah, well, 10 were disallowed.
All offside. Okay. Right. You've got another one with choices here, but it's a current sort of question. Number 8. What shirt number did the current England captain, Harry Kane, wear for the Orient during his loan spell in 2011?
I'll remember that.
Okay, well, you should get this. So, was it number 10?
I'm normally... Yeah, go on.
Number 21, number 25 or number 29?
21.
No, he wore number 29.
All right.
We'll probably run out of numbers that year for shirts.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 9, there was a film robbery. It was partly filmed at Brisbane Road on the 1st of April 1967. Against which team were the O's playing that day in a game that ended 0-0?
A robbery?
No, there's a film called The Robbery. It was partly filmed.
Oh, right, sorry. Yeah.
Well, there's always a robbery at Brisbane Road, Tone, isn't there?
Well, somebody, I know that. Next yeah, someone nicks all the points.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cambridge.
No, it was Swindon Town. It's quite right, famous then, by all accounts, but there you go. Right, one a bit more up-to-date than the 60s. Your final question. Who was our goalkeeper in our playoff final defeat against Scunthorpe at Wembley in 1999?
You've got to have a mind like a computer here. Against Scunthorpe. Scotty.
Well done. Scotty Barrett is the answer. So, Tony, you have scored 3.
Well done, wonderful, Tony. Wonderful, Tony. But thanks. Thank you very much for making us all laugh. That was
a total, unadulterated pleasure. Nice to talk to you, Trevor. Andy, I'll see you in my dreams.
Thanks, Tone. Cheers, mate.
Shut up, buddy. Bye-bye. Bye, mate.
And so next up, next contestant, quite a well-known fan, really, Mr. Douglas E. Harper. Dougie Harper, how are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good, and I know you're doing a lot of good work. I'll just come away from the Orient for a moment, because you're actually one of the few people, male breast cancer survivor, and you're doing a lot of good work with that, Doug. I've been seeing all the stuff you've been doing, promoting awareness of it, etc., and you're quite involved with the NHS with that, aren't you?
Well, it's with a couple of charities mainly. We've got our own thing called the VMU, which is a virtual meetup, but it's become the very first time that men in Europe have actually got their own, like we meet up once a month on Zoom, talk about male breast cancer and other things as well, me trying to crack jokes that no one laughs at. So it's just like being down the Orient in that sense.
Yep.
You know, so, but yeah, it's all going well. And just to say, not only women, but also men, any lumps or anything that changes in your body, go straight to the doctor.
Yep, sound advice, Doug, sound advice. You know, I think you getting in there early saved your life, didn't it?
It certainly did, yeah.
Yeah. Now, also, you're, of course, well-known with the Loft organisation. And how's things and what are they up to at the moment?
The usual sort of stuff going on behind closed doors, I really can't say, but it obviously... next year, one of these stands is going to be called the Matthew Roper Stand. That's, you know, we're all excited about.
Yeah.
And we're just going along. We're sort of, again, with that, it's really awkward not being able to meet in person. But obviously, the invention or whatever of Zoom and Teams, you know, it's made things easier. But it's a shame we're not meeting everyone over a pint. But
well, I think hopefully we will be.
Like, if you go on our website, we've got the kit thing. God, it's good I'm not a spokesman for Loft at the moment, because as I say, I've got short-term memory loss.
Part of your treatment. In all seriousness, it's part of your treatment, isn't it? And it's affected your memory a little bit. But,
it is, yeah.
And you're just the man to take part in this quiz, I think.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to do this?
When I was born. Oh, hang on. Yeah, what team is this? Burnley, yeah. Peter Noble.
Peter Noble is the correct answer. You've won. No. Okay. Right, Doug, in all seriousness, we'll wish you luck. We're going to pass you over to our question master supreme, Mr. Trevor Singfield.
Yeah.
Thank you, Trevor.
Hello, good evening, Doug, and welcome to the your quiz. Just a bit of a housekeeping. How long have you actually supported Dio's?
My first game was 1969, Torquay 1-1.
Okay, yes, that's a good effort. You remember the score as well. And where do you watch Dio's from? What stand do you regularly stand in? Sitting?
At the moment, I'm in the east. Again, but actually, sometimes I've been in the west. It depends. Depends who I'm going with, or But I do like the Mona's corner. I do like that bit.
Yeah, we've got quite a few event at this competition that like the east stand anyway. So let's crack on. We've got a choice of list 5, 7, or 8. Would you like to choose one place?
My lucky number is 8, so I'll go for 7.
Okay, so that's good logic, isn't it? Okay. Right, here we go. Number 1. Okay, against which team did we only take 148 supporters for an away game in our National League Championship winning season?
Gordon Bennett. Oh, I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, you've got to have a guess. Pick a team far away.
I can't remember any of the teams, isn't it? I'll say Salford. I know it's not, but I'll say Salford.
No, it was Barrow, but 148. I think it was a Tuesday night and a dramatic 3-2 win.
Okay. No, always are.
Yeah. Right. Number 2. Which non-league team did we defeat 1-0 away in the first round of the FA Cup in 1986?
Slough?
No, it was Woodford Town. Okay. Our FA Cup third round, second replay against Darlington back in 1977, where we lost 3-0, was played on which ground? These are the days when you went to a neutral ground.
White Hart Lane.
That's correct.
Well, was there.
Yeah.
An away game I went to.
Many fans there that night? I'm not sure.
Alan Whittle scored 2 goals.
What for them, yeah?
Please make that the next question.
Well, it's still in the 70s. Okay, number 4. Our home match on the 20th October 1973, which we won 2-0, was featured on the big match the next day. Who were our opponents that day?
Oh, 73.
Yeah.
Man United?
No, it was Luton Town. Okay.
You're done.
Who was the manager in our only season in Division 1?
Oh, my God. Can I forget that? Wasn't Stock, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was Johnny Carey.
Oh, my God. That's embarrassing to get. It was embarrassing to get that.
Yeah. Okay, number 6. Paul Went was Orient manager between September and October 1981. Yeah. How many days was he in charge for?
28.
No, it was 21. Okay. Number 7 is, how many league goals did Joe Mayo score for Orient? You get a choice here, Doug. Was it 26, 36, 41 or 46?
Not as many as he should have been, because he was always making them for Kitch.
It's true.
Could you say them again?
Yeah, of course I can. Yeah, it's 26, 36, 41 or 46.
I think it's one of the first two.
26 or 36, if they're the
first. I'll say 36.
That's correct.
Oh.
Okay. Who was the first player from then Clapton Orient to win an England cap? Topical, this one, as England are here, there and everywhere at the moment.
And there's no Orient players, isn't it?
So he's quite a famous chap, this one. First player to win an England cap under the name of the Orient.
So under Clapton Orient?
Yeah, Clapton Orient, yeah, in their history.
Oh, Christ. Good one, I don't know.
Okay, it was Owen Williams.
Right.
Everybody gets a tough history question. Okay, you may know this one. Number 9.
Hope so.
In which year did the first issue of the Orienteer appear on the Thameses?
It's just had an anniversary.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was issue or... Well, 1980, was it?
It was in the 1980s, if you want to elaborate and have a guess.
All right. P5?
No, 1 year later, 1986.
Ah, damn it.
Okay, right, the final question. Name the goalkeeper who made 45 league appearances for the O's in the 1985-86 season.
85-86. Was it Reece Wilmot?
No, it wasn't. It was Peter Wells.
Oh,
God. So, Doug, you managed to score.
Oh, God, was that two?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, do you know what, Doug? I'll put you out of your misery. The person on before you, Mr. Tony Basto, got three. So these are quite hard questions, I think.
I should have got a couple more of them.
But you know, for a man with memory loss to come onto a quiz...
And no Burnley questions,
no,
either.
And you did very well, because, I mean, people be going, at home be going, a man with memory loss in the quiz. So you did it. You're probably the only competitor on radio with memory loss taking part in the quiz, where memory is probably the key element. But you did very well.
I'm doing you grimace in the background, Andy.
No, I thought you did all right, mate. And to be honest with you, they weren't easy questions. I mean, I got Woodford wrong, and I've got several wrong, actually. Yeah, you got the one I got. You got right with the White Hart Lane. I got that wrong. You know, so
yeah, so I was actually there. Very rare. You know me in a away game.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember walking out of that and someone asking us what the time was. It was around about the time when people said to me, if anyone asks you the time, don't answer it. And some Spurs supporter come up to me and said, what's the time? And I went, Orient, because I was panicking. Cause, my nickname is, I don't even know, my nickname was always Scarpa Harper.
Is that days panicking. When you could run?
Yeah, I couldn't do that now. I'm going to have to get a kick in his hands now, I'm afraid.
All right, Doug, lovely to speak to you, mate, and you take care.
Okay, cheers, mate. Thanks for both of you.
Cheers.
Right, time for the next contestant then, and a well-known character at Leighton Orient for many years, the groundsman. He won many awards as well for having one of the best pitches around. Charlie Hasler, how are you?
Lovely, thanks, mate. Not too bad at all. Just had a fill-up with Italian food. I didn't know I liked it so much.
There you go. We don't like to talk too much about Italian stuff on the Orient Hour.
So, I never thought I'd ever see an Italian restaurant in Leighton.
There you go, yeah. There we are. Anyway, so what have you been doing with yourself?
Well, funny enough, I've been quite busy because I get a lot of phone calls from clubs. Can I come and look? I don't charge them, eh? I like doing it. I go down and look at their pitch and give them advice what to do. I don't actually do any work. I just tell them how to do it and that. I went over Sutton. See them rip up their old pitch, like, you know. I think they're putting in their sort of pitch, which is top class, like, you know. I've been over our ground today, funny enough, and we're just doing sand slits. I thought they was going to do a Deso, but apparently not. They might do it next season. But it's really silly, really, because you do it, it's guaranteed about 10 years, you know, whereas our ones, you do it every year and that. So it's worth them. I mean, they're not cheap, but, I mean, if you look at the Premiership clubs this year, their pitches, they don't know they've been played on, you know. So, and you can train on them and think like a plastic pitch, like, you know. So
a bit of a false economy the other way around, is it?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, yeah, you know. But I looked down today, it looked nice and green. But the new bloke who's in charge of the stadium, he said a little bit worried. He said, because at the top it still looks a bit patchy in places, like, you know. It looks all right from the bottom bit, but he's worried about the game we've got. A couple of games coming early, haven't we? So.
Is this the groundsman, Colin, is it?
Yeah, Colin weren't there, yeah. I don't know. I went over there, the memorial thing, like, you know.
All right.
We lost. Apparently we lost 160 people died or in connections in the since the COVID started.
Well, it's...
unbelievable,
yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, we can't
afford to lose all those supporters.
No. And unfortunately, one of our panelists here, Sam, lost his father last week. Lifelong Orient fan, John Monday,
yeah.
And obviously everyone with the program's thoughts are with Sam and his brother Will. Yes. But I mean, it's been a desperately difficult year for everybody, hasn't it? But
you know, you you know people. Like, I mean, I've been going over the joint now since I was three. This is my 68th year, would you believe? I mean, I know when I was three, I used to do 1 week West Ham, 1 week Orient, because my brother used to take me one and the other like that. Since I was five, I've only done Orient. But, you know, you get to know people, and, you know, you get friends with Orient supporters, and suddenly they're not there no more. Like, you know, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's been a rough year.
I don't want to die, but some of them go too early.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've always said I don't want to go while I'm at the Orient, and I don't want to go like Elvis on the toilet, but apart from that, I accept we're good to go.
I could live forever, because I want to wait to see we get the Premiership. So
oh, you'll be all right. Listen, I'm going to pass you over to our question master supreme, Charlie, and it's it is Mr. Trevor Singfield.
Hello there, Charlie.
Hello, Trevor. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all good. I'm glad you're keeping well. And,
not too bad.
Bring a bit of cheer to our shows. You're a good guest when you were on before. So everybody knows you and knows about you. So you don't
That's the trouble. I can't do nothing, can I? Everybody knows me.
Don't need much of an introduction. All you've got to tell me is if you want to try list five or list eight of the Orient Hour quiz questions. Cause
well, I've got a shocking memory, but I'll try anything you like. I don't care.
Okay, so I'll let you have number five then. Okay. Here we go then. So, question number one. The last game we lost away from home in the National League was 2-1 on the 2nd of April 2019. Which team beat us?
Oh, was that one Bromley? Was it? Let me think. I know we lost to... Was it Bromley? I don't know.
Yeah, Bromley it was. Well done, Charlie.
Well, I got one. Hey.
Okay.
I do. I'll hang up now. My head.
No. You, like you say, we've got another nine to go. Which top flight club did we beat in the FA Cup third round Which top flight club did we beat in the FA Cup third round after a replay?
We beat Middlesbrough.
It was Oldham Athletic. It was on the TV. 4-2, I think the final score.
Oh no, I went to the game.
Under the lights. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Number three.
I miss my train home, by the way. Yeah.
Right, this is about the ground. Okay, what season was the Tommy Johnson South Stand first opened as a all-seater stand? You get a choice, unless you know it straight away. It's either 1999-2000 season, 2001-2002 season, 2004-2005 season, or was it 2006-07 season? When was a Tommy Johnson stand?
All-seater. 2000, 2004,
was
it?
No, it wasn't. It was 1999 to 2000.
Was it as long as
I was there? Yeah, that surprised me as well.
Christ, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you may have been involved in this, I don't know. Why was the Orient versus Sunderland League match held up for 5 minutes in the 1977-78 season? I couldn't tell you whether it was a night game or not, but it was held up for 5 minutes. What happened that afternoon evening?
Was it when a bloke ran on the pitch?
It wasn't a bloke, I'm afraid, Charlie. A dog ran on the pitch.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember that, yeah. I remember the one when we got held up with a bloke ran on the pitch. We've all got the halfway line.
When he's crushing.
Yeah. Bloke named Bernard. Come from Macclesfield.
I also thought you may have been chasing after the dog. We've all pictured that. Okay, number five. In our only season in Division 1, which round of the League Cup did the O's reach?
League Cup in Division 1, when we went up now, we lost. We won our first game against, our first victory was against West Ham.
What round did we get to in the League Cup?
I think we got to round three.
No, we didn't. We got to round five. We played Newcastle,
round five.
Chester, Charlton and Bury on the way.
Yeah. Okay. All I remember is being West Ham, first game, first victory. Yeah. First ever two points then, wasn't it? Yeah.
Okay, number six. Tommy Taylor resigned as Orient manager on the 14th of October 2001. 2 weeks later, he was appointed manager at which football club?
He came from Cambridge to us.
Mm-hmm.
And where did he go from there? There's a mate of mine, Tommy, as well.
I hope he's not listening.
It wasn't when he went abroad, was it?
No, he didn't go abroad.
No, he went after that. Where did he go, for Christ's sake?
He went up north of England. He went to the north of England.
Oh, I know. Darlington.
Yeah, well done. Okay.
He took my son up there, wanted him to stay up there, but Charlie couldn't understand the language and he came back home again.
Okay, number seven. How many goals in all competitions did Ian Moores score for the Orient? You get a choice here. Was it 11, 21, 31 or 41?
In all competitions, yeah. I say Ian Moores about 11.
No, he got 31.
Oh, no, did he?
Yeah.
I remember when he played for us away at Cheltenham, yep. Him and Ralph Coates.
Yeah, that was my first ever Orient game, that was.
So, was he really?
Yeah, you got two of that 31 then.
Yeah, it was a nice bloke. He used to come meet me around the Berwick dinner time.
That's nice. That's the days of good old-fashioned footballers, Charlie.
And Ralph Coates, I broke down on the way to his wedding, would you believe?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, car blew up.
That's not a good start. Okay, number eight. I like this one. Which currently an Orient player made one appearance for England C team in 2016?
Current Orient player?
He's a current Orient player, yeah.
Who would that be? C team?
Yeah, England C team, whatever that is. It's,
yeah,
maybe a non-league team, I don't know.
Who would that have been? Not the goalkeeper, because he didn't,
he's an outfield player.
Yeah,
we're going to have to push you on this one.
Yeah, who's going to... Outfield player. Terry, not Dyer, centre-half, what's his name? Danny,
No, not Daniel Papp. It was, surprisingly, Craig Clay.
Was it really?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, he was Scottish.
Yeah, so did I. But there you go. Yeah. In 1982, Jejuna Taxi was placed by which music by the new DJ at the time, Steve Day, for a very short period?
Oh,
When I asked this one to Andy, he got it straight away. He likes his music.
Yeah, he likes his music. Well, I remember Valerie used to be played years ago before that. No, I can't think.
It was Red River Rock by Johnny and the Hurricanes. Now,
Red River Rock and Johnny and the Hurricanes. I don't even remember that.
No, I've got no idea either. So,
I don't know. I can remember before that, years ago, they played an American tune. I'll be back now. Like the American Navy tune used to do it one time.
Okay.
Before Keith, who died, used to do the Tannoy. He was the one who introduced our man. The Tijuana Brass, and I remember when he first played it.
Yeah.
We thought, oh my God, 50 odd years later, it's all
there. The rest is history. Right, we're going to have to actually, with the power of modern technology, Andy has just found on the Wikipedia page of Daniel Happ that he actually has an England C cap as well. So we are going to give you that point as well. So there you go, you're up to three, so come on. Right, your final question, Charlie, is name the goalkeeper who was ever present for the O's in the league season during our relegation in 1984-85. So we need the keeper. Ever 84? Present. 85, when we got relegated.
Weren't Mervyn Day, was it? No.
Bit late for Merv, I think. He was 82. To have an ever-prison keeper when you get relegated.
Yeah.
I think you've got a sack full of goals.
No, I can't think.
He's a Welsh guy, I think.
I know you mean.
Okay.
I can't think of his name.
It was Rhys Wilmot.
Rhys Wilmot, yeah, Wilmot. Was he ever present?
Yeah. That's according to Martin.
I would have never guessed that. No.
No, he's Martin set some wonderful questions and.
There's some hard questions there, Charlie, and you didn't do too bad because you got three, and that's two. You know what? We've had you're the third competitor tonight. Our scores so far tonight are 3-2 and 3 again.
See.
And
I've got a terrible memory.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Doug, who got two, is suffering from memory loss. So he's probably he probably wasn't the man for a quiz, but he did well. He did well. He got two. So
It's funny. Like you think you know these things, like, and as I say, suddenly you hear the right question. You think, so that can't be, but
yeah, there you go. But anyway, you got three, Charlie, and we'll bow you out and thank you very much for taking part.
Oh, pleasure.
Top manager,
always nice
top
to talk to you.
Take care, Charlie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so our fourth competitor tonight is one of the best-known voices of Leighton Orient. In fact, the voice of Leighton Orient, and a man who gathers respect everywhere he goes, doesn't he, Trevor? It's the dulcet one himself, Mr. David Victor. How are you, Dave?
I'm very good. I'm very nervous after that very generous introduction, Andy. I'm just about to demonstrate actually how little I know about the Elves.
Well, I'm actually looking at the check you sent me as I speak. So thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, so it's been a strange one, and a new manager is in place, Dave. So there's plenty of reason for optimism for this coming season for Orient.
I think so. It's not just the new manager. I think it's a new squad, more or less, that's taking shape as well. I think it's what everybody was looking for. There is no doubt that the O's have got a manager who's not only very experienced, he's also very, very successful. I'm looking forward to life under Kenny Jackett.
Have you had a chance to meet him yet?
Well, not as the Orient manager. I certainly have interviewed him on a number of occasions, not least when he was at Millwall. And, you know, he's a very good fella to work with, no doubt about that. He's a very generous man with his time.
Oh, good. So he's not afraid to chat away, which is good news. Right, we'll do, Dave. We'll have a little chat about the Orient in a bit, but we're going to pass you over to our quizmaster, Mr. Trevor Singfield.
Good evening, Dave. Highly anticipated speaking to you on this one. No need to be nervous.
Hi, Trevor.
When did you first ever set eyes on the O's? That's the question, because we talk to you many, many times on the show, and we may not know that.
Well, it's back in 71, I think. They played Carlisle United back in the old second division. Then, I think, 2 weeks later, I went again with friends, and the O's beat a very strong Sunderland side by 5-0 on a swamp of a pitch. And the first time I did a commentary for the O's was back in March 1983. That was for Hospital Radio. Leighton Orient played Port Vale.
Well, that's a great introduction to yourself. So you've had the best seat in the house for the last 12 months.
I'm a very lucky man, that's for sure, yeah.
And the coverage you've brought to many people would have been well appreciated. So, afraid there's no questions on last season in this quiz, so you're not got any advantage on the others. So
right, okay.
Should we crack on?
Please do.
So you've got list eight because the other fellas have taken the other previous list. So your first question would be: in the National League Championship winning season, who did we play in the FA Cup?
Wow, was it Maidstone?
It was in the fourth qualifying round. So yeah, you're off to a flyer. So what year did you start going? 71, did you say?
71,
okay,
yes.
Okay, so your second question is, which player scored Arsenal's goal against the O's in the 1-0 defeat in the 1972 FA Cup quarter-final?
So I've got to pass on that one. I've no idea. I suppose I could go John Radford.
No, it was Alan Ball, and he was wearing, wearing white boots. Yeah, that's the one, famous picture. Okay. In which season was the new North Family Stand first open as an all-seater stand? You get a choice in this one. Was it 2004-05, 2007-08, 2010-11, or the final season, 2013-14? Which season did it open?
I'll go 4-5.
No, it was 7-8.
Was it?
Yeah, okay. Charlie had the South Stand one, and that was 1999. And we couldn't believe it had been open that long. There you are. Okay, back
time
to the
flies.
70s. Our home match on the 22nd of March 1975, which we won 1-0, was featured on the big match the following day. Who were our opponents that day?
It's going to have to be a guess. Luton Town.
That was, funny enough, they were on the telly in the previous seasons, and that was one of the other questions. This one was Aston Villa.
Oh, okay.
Okay, number five. In our only season in Division 1, which round of the FA Cup did we reach?
Again, I'll have to guess. I assume that we would have started in the third round.
That's right.
Let's go for the fourth.
Now, we managed a fifth. We
did
played Hull, Derby and Leicester that season. So, not bad cup run for the O's and everything done. Okay. Who was appointed club manager on the 5th of February 2009?
Wow. Was it... was it Russell?
No, it was before Russell. It was Geraint Williams.
Oh, George.
He only lasted a year, I think, if I'm not...
A little bit of a, wasn't it? Kept us up against the odds.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if his heart was in it. He had to travel a long way, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know the ins and outs of that, but...
He's got a very good job afterwards with the Wales under-23s. I think it suited him very well.
Oh, that's I met him, I think.
Shame we don't get a point for that, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I met him once, and I found him a really decent chap. I think we were playing in
the
Republic of Ireland at the time. Friendly out there. But okay, on to number seven. How many league goals did Colin West score for the Orion? You get a choice, and it's either 28, 33, 38, or 43.
I'll go 28.
He actually scored 43. He was quite prolific. Yeah, there
wow.
you go.
Goodness me.
The stick Colin West gets is, okay, we now go on to number eight. Glen Road.
Okay, so there's a little break there where Dulcet Dave, who's very famous for his technological wizardry, managed to get cut off. Welcome back, Dave, and I'll pass
thank you, Andy. It wouldn't be Dulcet Dave without a technical problem, would it?
Oh, dear. Dear,
I bet Adam. I'm the first one that where that's happened, aren't I?
Also, the joyous moment at Maidstone when Dave's foot caught the cables and unplugged all the press, and they all looked up. I think I can't repeat, but it was one of those wonderful moments. But anyway, I'm going to pass you back. You're on question eight, weren't you, Colin West?
Oh dear.
Colin West.
Yes.
Trevor.
Yeah, I think he took a turn there, knowing how many goals Colin West scored, I think. More.
Well, I was surprised. I'm not doing very well here, am I, Trevor?
Well, you've still got three to go. That can all change.
Oh, well, okay,
number eight. We're with Glenn Roeder, won which international honours while playing for the O's?
Well, I would think it would be under-21 school boys.
No, he actually won back in the day an England B cap.
Did he?
Yeah, okay. probably called the 21s today. Okay.
Lovely fella.
Yes, sadly lost as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Number nine, when Barry Hearn took over the club in 1995, he replaced Jaduna Taxi as the music to lead the team out. What song did he choose?
Tina Turner, the best.
No, very similar, no. I would have thought. He chose Queen and We Will Rock You.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. I don't think it lasted that long.
Cause I don't remember that one.
Well, he was doing the walk-ons, wasn't he, I think? And
he was, yes,
like
with
George
the red
Best
carpet. Would,
yeah,
we're the
coming.
Red carpet. Trying to remember, there was a striker that made lots and lots of appearances on that red carpet, wasn't there?
Mm.
Trying to remember his name.
Well,
just as well, that's not one of the questions.
Yeah. But, yeah, I remember he had George Best, Steve Davis, and a few boxers. He had some good characters,
didn't
he?
Yeah, it was interesting.
Typical Barry Hearn, and, you know.
It was.
Right, come on, Dave, you've got to get the last one. We can't have somebody going away with just one. So, number 10. And how many consecutive league appearances did John Jackson play for the O's? You get a choice.
Yeah.
So, was it 170, 190... 205 or 210?
I'll go 190.
I'm afraid it was 210. And as a footnote, he also made 200 plus consecutive appearances for Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
What an achievement for a goalkeeper.
It is.
So sadly, Dave, we're going to report you got one.
I got off this flying start.
You got the first question, Dave. And, dear. You did say to me...
I got that one.
Yeah.
I told you I wouldn't do very well, Andy.
I know. I've actually met somebody with a worse retentive memory than me.
Yeah, when you I couldn't remember all those Colin West goals.
No. I said to people that when we both commentate for many years, and you do the match, and you sort of blank it, don't you? Because you've got another one to come up, and you just... You just lose that match, it goes into the void, and you move on to the next one. And every commentator I've spoken to, when they return to Leighton Orient, a TV commentator or anything, you say to them, oh, you were here for the whatever match, and they look at your blank and go, was I? Because they've done so many, they can't
they can't remember which ones they've done and what happened. They can't even remember the score. But
well, I certainly can't remember all those Colin West goals, that's for sure.
No, but you see, you know, Trevor's right. He gets a bit of a bad press sometimes from Orient fans.
Yeah.
But I mean, mainly because of that penalty, I think, where he tried to chip it over the keeper and it went straight to the keeper's midriff. It was one of the worst penalties ever, apart from possibly Ian Moore's in the FA Cup. So coming back to things, we did chat at the start of the first lockdown about yourself and your involvement, and we know that you were down at Harwich and Parkston, and then you got involved in Capital Radio, etc. So you've had a long association with Orient, and since about 82, and you did the hospital radio, but you did the club call, of course, which was great because it was the most drawn out commentary for the younger fans. People had to pay, how much was it, David? It's about 48p.
It was very expensive, wasn't it?
It was about 48p a minute plus VAT back then.
I think they made their money the night of Rotherham away, didn't they? I think the penalty shootouts, I think people were calling into that, those who didn't make to go to Millmore or something like that. It was.
The O's didn't have the most calls, but we did have the longest duration of calls in the capital for a while. And obviously it's how long people stay on the line which got the income for the club. I think that was down to Chris Racetrick, who was the editor at the time, and he's not very well at the moment, so I thought so with Chris. But it was Chris that had that famous interview with Tony Wood, which in many ways sort of shaped the immediate history for the O's. I often wonder if it wasn't for that throwaway remark about the club being available for £5, what would have happened. And then there was also, Chris did this interview with Peter Eustace, and Peter then explained that he'd just been sacked, and he did that knowing that Chris had the tape running. And Chris then phoned up all the players, and remember Danny Carter, one or two words that he said when Chris told him, having started the tape recorder, that the manager had been sacked. Can you imagine these days, club call informing players that the manager had been sacked? And then, of course, I think I had a very long duration, not during the game, but immediately after the game at Northampton, when Leighton Orient had finally won away from home. And apparently there weren't that many calls during the game, but as soon as the game had finished, I carried on quite a long commentary. And apparently the calls were off the radar on that occasion. So, that was like a very long time ago. Different technology. The youngsters won't have a clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I think people still remember the 08, 9, 8, 12, 11, 50 number. I think it was it was one of those numbers that was emblazoned on the pitch side boards around the ground. And as I say, I do know one fan actually got a bill for about £800, I think, something like
gosh.
That. And,
you have to be so careful.
Yeah, it was a shocker, really, by today's standards. But as I say, it was a learning curve for everybody, though, wasn't it? And I mean,
it was. There was a lot of people that started on club call. Jonathan Pierce started on club call. We used to share a telephone line back at the old Upton Park a long time ago when I used to phone through the scores. You remember on ITV when the scores used to come flashing up on the scoreline, and that was after Jonathan had initially updated West Ham club call. So, there were a few people that were started on club called Jim Crawford, who's on Talks Board at the moment covering England. He also was a former club call man.
Yeah, so it was a big thing, and as you say, we've seen many changes over the years. But as we come back to the current times, Dave, and say the optimism, we were just touching on that before before your calamitous round of quiz questions.
We're not going to talk about those, are we, Andy?
No, we're not going to mention the 1 out of 10. No, we're not going to mention that, Dave. Serious. I mean, I can edit it for you for a fee. I mean, we can make it sound better, and you can get a couple of extra points if you want. But
can I have the Colin West question again? Because I might see him. He's still on the circuit.
Yeah. No, I mean, let's come back to the present time, Dave. The optimism is back in the camp, isn't it? I think we lost our way a little bit after Justin passed, I think, and it's understandable why things took a while to settle back down. But the optimism is back, isn't it?
I think it is. It does feel like a fresh start. It's going to be interesting, isn't it, starting the season where we finished last at Salford City, because that was such a flat performance, and you did get the sense that the tide was definitely white for a radical change. So, and you have to give credit to Martin Ling and to the directors for securing the change as quickly as they did. And I don't know any Orient supporter at the moment who doesn't think that it's the right decision. And it was interesting that Kenny Jackett, the first thing he talked about was squad building, and he's definitely doing that. He started at the back. And I'm very hopeful by some of the signings. And of course, there's still a long way to go. I think loan signings could be very significant in the forthcoming campaign, not least because Kenny Jackett will be so well connected with a number of clubs, not least Watford.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably not since the days of Petchy and Bloomfield have we had such a high-profile, well-known manager come in. Dave. Ah, have we lost Dave? I think we might.
Well, I think the other...
Hello.
He's Dave. Dave, the technology king, is back.
Andy, I'm sorry. I missed what you said then.
I said it's probably not since the days of Petchy and Bloomfield have we had such a high-profile, well-known manager. Okay, so just to explain to listeners, we are pre-recording this show, and we've had a few technical problems with Dave, which is most unusual, and so we've had to edit a couple of bits back together again. So if you think what happened there, well, what happened was Dave lost a signal and disappeared into the ether, and we've got him back again.
I'm in Richmond Park, Andy. I don't know what the signal... Well, I was hoping the signal might be a bit better than...
You sound okay.
I sound okay, yeah. I just couldn't hear you. It's never had these problems in the old club call days.
No, no. See, sometimes technology goes backwards, doesn't it? You know?
It does with me.
Yeah. No, what we were saying was we haven't had, in my opinion anyway, such a high-profile appointment since probably the days of Petchy and Bloomfield.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think Justin Edinburgh was similar in that he was somebody that probably would only have gone to non-league if it was with Leighton Orient. And I think it's the same with Kenny Jackett. He probably only would have gone into League Two with a club with the potential of the O's. And again, I think it just shows what Leighton Orient are seen by others at the moment. When you think in... What was it, June 2017, see, I would have got that answer correct, the state that the club was in. And to here we are, just 4 years later, and Kenny Jackett, I know he's turned down other positions, and that's because he can see that Leighton Orient are providing a really solid platform on which to build.
Yeah, and you've seen Nigel and Kent bringing in more directors, if you like, and new financing coming in. So a lot of interest, obviously a lot of American interest there.
Yes, and that's very important because, you know, we know that a lot of clubs are going to be financially really stricken. I worry about Swindon Town at the moment. I don't know if you're following the stories there, but it must be pretty grim if John McGrill had only stayed a few days before leaving the manager's job without a game being played. I don't even think he probably had a training session. I think there may be some clubs in League Two in real problems. There's lots of rumours around Rochdale at the moment, aren't there? So Leighton Orient in a strong place, but I think it's going to be a strong division. Stevenage finished last season very well, of course. Bradford City, Derek Adams taking charge there. Their expectations will be very high, as will Salford City. Looking forward to that one on the opening day.
Yeah, so off the top of your head, I mean, how it's always difficult to predict, but where do you see the O's? With the squad they sort of assembled at the moment, hopefully there's going to be a couple of more additions to our troops, I should think, before kick-off. But where would you say was a realistic position for the O's?
Well, I think what we need is time. I think any manager, particularly with a brand-new squad, will need time. So there may be some strange results early doors. You'd expect that. The players will be getting to know each other. Kenny will be getting to know them. So there could be some strange results early on. I hope the supporters understand that and give Kenny time. I think if we're not pushing for the playoffs, it would be disappointing.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. And I think, would you think secretly the board would say it's probably a 2-year project, this with Kenny?
Yes, so if you look at the 6-year plan, that's exactly what you'd expect, wouldn't you? They were talking about getting back into League Two when they took over back in June 17. They were saying it's a 6-year project, which would give Kenny the 2 years. I would imagine that he would also probably see it that way. Once you get into the playoffs, you just don't know. And as I said earlier, so many clubs will be in very strange circumstances in terms of the finance. We'll find out later this month about whether or not everybody will be allowed back into the football grounds. It would seem to be positive from that point of view. And again, with the investment at the Brea Group Stadium, Leighton went in a strong position. Lots of season tickets have already been sold. And if England continue to succeed in the European Nations Trophy, you never know. You never know that there might be a real appetite for football. And Orient would be a good place to start, as we all know.
Yeah, I think we saw that before, didn't we, Dave, when England got to the semi-finals. It sort of rejuvenated an interest and increased the interest in football. And they got there again. And obviously, if they could go at least one step further, maybe even two, that would probably have a beneficial effect to most football clubs up and down the country.
I'm sure it will, but particularly for the Orient, because there'll be lots of youngsters asking their parents to take them to football. So difficult not only to be able to afford a Premier League game, but also to pick up the tickets. So, you know, if you were living in East London or possibly West Essex, Orient would be a good place to see professional football.
Yeah, I mean, it's their tagline. We mentioned this before, with which Danny McNeese brought in, is, you know, the affordable football in the capital sort of, you know, is the unique selling point they've got, really. And we were talking in a previous show about when Barry bought in the £10 season ticket. Now, that's not, obviously, you couldn't do £10 now, but would you think maybe a £20 or £25 season ticket for children would be a flyer?
Well, I think there was I really applauded the £10 ticket initiative. And if you look and talk to a number of Orient supporters, many of them have stayed there after having that opportunity with that remarkable ticket office. Ticket offer, rather. But there was a problem with it. We know that some people bought the £10 ticket just literally to make sure that they had a little bit of social distancing and somewhere to put their coats. And it did mean that when you had a big match, it was very hard to ensure that there was a capacity. So I don't think it can be quite as straightforward as a £10 season ticket. You need to make sure that people are actually using the ticket. But I'd imagine with the advances in technology that we should be able to see whether or not these tickets are being used. I don't have a problem with a very cheap ticket as long as they're being used to encourage young supporters to fall in love with the magic of the Oaks.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously we're sitting in a stadium which has got, you know, 4,000 empty seats more often than not. So there's plenty of room there. I mean, they've got this target of 7,000. Now, you know, that's, we were saying on the previous show that it's an ambitious target, because it hasn't been achieved since 78 that Orient have averaged over 7,000. So it's going to take a lot of work, isn't it?
It will, and it will also take a bit of infrastructure, because parking in Waltham Forest and around the ground is getting harder all the time. Again, we might need to be a little imaginative as to enable people to get to the ground as easily as possible. I know in the past, Charlton Athletic used to run coaches from various places around the Kent area. We need to make sure that there's coordination as much as possible with the London Underground, because I think the central line is going to be ever so important next season as supporters get to the ground.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, the local borough are putting in these restrictions, which we won't get political about it. I mean, obviously, they've got their reasons to do it and their targets to meet, etc. But it does seem a little, you know, unhelpful to a club that they are purporting to be backing and supporting. But I think you're right. They've got vehicles there and their own buses and things like that, I'm sure, at their disposal, as well as you know, the fact that Orient can maybe bring in some higher buses. But I think you're on the right lines here. I think we've got to have, on top of the normal buses, we've got to have a sort of free shuttle service to bring people in from...
Park and ride, so yeah. We get into Colchester and other places.
Yeah, I think that's vital. You know, people can park maybe at Newbury Park and things like that, and they've got the tube maybe, but to other people it's an expense, you know, an added expense on top of an added expense. So these are things that... you know, it's not helpful to the club because they want that money directed into their coffers, not elsewhere, you know.
Yeah, but I suppose you also have to look at the positives. We're very fortunate to be close to the underground station and, you know, that's probably going to be the main way that people get to the ground, as will be the case in the future for most London clubs.
Yeah, and obviously maybe the club can invest in a massive bicycle park or something.
Stands that have been installed. I saw them last season. Unfortunately, they couldn't be used for obvious reasons. Yeah. But the club already there, and that, again, is very important.
Yeah, it is indeed. So, Dave, much to look forward to next season. And all I can say to you is all the best to you and your family. And we wish you all the best. And we'll see you, hopefully, next month. Back at.
I'm looking forward to it as well, Andy. Thanks for inviting me on. And... I'm sorry that I did so bad. Well, and all of the technical problems again. Proper dulcet, Dave.
Yeah, we don't mind, Dave. You know, you're one of the club's much loved characters.
I'm not sure you can see, but thank you. Andy.
Character then. All right, we'll leave the much loved bit out. Okay. we'll see you later, Dave.
Cheers,
Andy.
Cheers. Bye bye. Bye bye. See you, Trevor.
Well, that's dulcet, Dave. Going there in the distance, Trevor, and you only got 1 out of 10, but it was a low scoring round tonight, wasn't it?
Yeah, extremely low scoring round. I'm not putting any gimme answers in there, what Martin set and the few I've set now, but I was very surprised. That's shockingly low scoring considering our own Jamie got 7, didn't he? And 7-6-5-4, I think, on the last week's round, but no. It's funny what you said about commentators. They're all stats, figures and all that, but that's something in the past. They just can't put their finger on the answer, can they?
They can't. But, that's all we've got time for this week. And hopefully we'll be back with a panel in the studio next week and also some more quiz questions for those brave enough to take the challenge. For now, though, from Trevor and myself, it's good night.
It's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. This is St. Arts and Park. It's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again.
play till the end. If I thought you'd score, but I haven't seen a goal in God knows when.